That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Have you felt the weight lately? I've felt it. I have felt like the world is unraveling around me just a little more every day. Maybe you're like me and you're struggling to make sense of where is God in all of this? And what's going on inside of you is more like chaos than the peace that God promises us. Maybe you've been scrolling through your newsfeed and you see the natural disasters, the economy issues, the wars raging all over the planet, the political tempers that are boiling over, and horrible, horrible things happening as a result. And then the very next post, you scroll down and see someone's highlight reel that's perfectly filtered and everything looks like it's going 100% according to plan. And then a news flash and then a loss. It's back and forth. It's exhausting, isn't it? We're living in a world that's really loud with bad news and eerily quiet when it comes to real hope. And if we're honest, even as Christians, we're not immune to this. We believe in Jesus. We love him. We know that we do, but we still feel that ache of discouragement, the despair that's going on in the world around us and even in our own hearts. I see it. I hear it. I felt it too. This week, I saw trending on TikTok this audio that looped thousands of times over and over again that just said, "I'm tired. I'm so tired of pretending everything's okay." And it struck a nerve with me because, like I said, it's not just out there. It's in here. It's in our homes, in our churches, and in our hearts. But the Bible? How about the Bible? What does the Bible talk about? Yes, the Bible talks about those stories that show up on your feed too. There's lots of narratives and historical documentation in the Bible of wars and political unrest and natural disasters and horrible kings, broken relationships, sin, lying, deceit, failures. But more than that, the Bible talks about hope. The Bible is a book of hope. It's real hope. It's anchored hope. It's not the kind of hope that you plaster on a smile while inside your soul is completely unraveling. This is not the kind of hope that ignores the headlines or calls us to stick our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing's happening around us. This is the kind of hope that's rooted deep, deep in God's word, deep in who God is, in the person of Christ, the hope that makes it not easier, but better. And it begins not with what you do, but with where you're anchored. So take a deep breath with me. Okay, hope. Not the wishful thinking, oh, I hope I get that new job, or I hope I get to see my extended family over the holidays. Or maybe you're on the other side of that and you hope you don't have to deal with your family over the holidays. That's not the hope we're talking about. We're talking about biblical hope. And this is something different. This is something way, way, way more secure than that wishful thinking. This is a lifeline, a foundation, a security beyond anything this world can offer. Do you want that hope today? You want to know the hope I'm talking about? This is the hope Hebrews 6:19 talks about. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. So what hope? What is this hope that Hebrews 6:19 is talking about? What are we anchored to? What keeps us from drifting in our minds and sinking into the storms of despair when things are swirling around us? When Hebrews says, this hope, this verse comes It's after a long argument in Hebrews 6. It's a call to mature faith, a warning against drifting away that goes from Hebrews 6:1 all the way to through Hebrews 6:18. It's a reminder of God's promises and his unchanging character. This hope that this verse in Hebrews is talking about is grounded in God's promises. God's promised salvation and eternal life, and he's promised his faithfulness. And this hope is also tied to Christ's work, his finished work, his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. Jesus secures everything for us. This is an anchor that we can put our hope in that is sure. And it's also connected to our perseverance because since it's not connected to our wishful thinking, but instead to our confident expectation of who God is and what he's done, this is a very tangible, real hope. It's not vague. It's not self-reliant optimism. It is rooted in the person of Christ and in God's sure purposes. Think about the image of an anchor. And when Hebrews 6:19 says that this hope is an anchor for our soul. If you've ever been on a boat and you've decided you want to stop in a spot to fish, or you've run into a storm, or you just want to stay still so you can pull out your picnic lunch, you drop an anchor. That anchor goes all the way to the bottom, to the deep sand where it holds a ship still. Maybe some storms will come, or some waves will come, or the winds will howl, or you just want to stay still so you can catch that specific school of fish. Well, the anchor holds you still. Without an anchor, your ship is going to drift. It could crash. It could sink. The anchor gives stability and it keeps you in a fixed position. It keeps you in a safe position. When we think about this hope as an anchor for our soul, when we think about this hope as the person of Christ, the character of God, this steady, sure, immovable, secure place to tie ourselves down, then when we face fear, when we read newsreels, we get news that something horrible, tragic, or horrific has happened in our world, this hope holds us. It keeps us from getting overwhelmed. It keeps us from drifting from the truth, the rock solid truth of God's word. It keeps us from doubting. It keeps our eyes fixed on what is eternal. Hebrews says that this hope is sure and steadfast, or firm and secure. That means it's not fluctuating. It's not tentative. It's not dependent on circumstances changing or not changing. It's not dependent on our fluctuating feelings. It's dependent on God. Theologically, this hope rests on three things. God's unchangeableness, first and foremost. So this is the immutability of God. This is the reality that Scripture teaches us, that God does not shift. His character doesn't waver. His promises don't alter. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't even cast a shadow because he's holding so still. He is unchanging. The second thing this hope rests on is Christ's finished work. Jesus has already accomplished what's needed. He's already accomplished our forgiveness and our justification and all that is necessary for us to be in right relationship with God. And the third thing this hope rests on is the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have a guarantee, a deposit of the Holy Spirit that is given to us at the moment of regeneration and salvation that guarantees our inheritance, that is an imperishable inheritance that waits for us in the heavenly places. So our hope is secure because our anchor is embedded in the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all working together to secure our hope. So now that we know theologically what our hope rests on, this gives us a launching point for understanding our hope as followers of Christ. And theology is wonderful, and y'all know I love theology, but what difference does this all make if we don't live like we believe it? If you could see me, I'm pointing my finger at myself right now, my friends. I've been studying for several days on God's faithfulness and the hope that we have in Christ, and boy, have I been convicted. I mean that. I'm not just saying that for purposes of illustration for this episode. I say I know God is faithful. I say my hope is in Christ. But 2 seconds later, my mind is swirling with the what ifs and all the ways I can try to fix it. I know y'all know what I'm talking about because you do it too. And before I know it, I'm wringing my hands and losing sleep. And ultimately, all that means I'm not actually functionally trusting God. I'm not actually functionally believing that He's faithful. I'm not anchored to the hope of Christ. I'm trying to use something else to anchor me. And hear me when I say, no other anchor will hold. It won't. Believe me, I've tried it. I keep trying it, and it doesn't work. The end, full stop. So join me right now in cutting out all these other anchors that we are trying to get to hold. But good news, if our hope truly is anchored in Christ, if we are firmly secure, then there's going to be ripple effects in how we think, how we feel, how we respond to situations, how we suffer well, and how we love God, how we love others, if our hope is truly anchored in Christ. Listen, trouble's coming. And I know this because my Savior says so. This world brings trouble, but in Christ we have hope. So we know that the trouble's coming, but the anchor holds, that there's purpose, that God has purpose in every single ounce of trouble that this world brings. We're not alone. Christ is with us. We have the hope that can only be found in Him. More after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossin in just a moment. She's going to continue to unpack Hebrews 6:19. You know what usually happens when episodes like this end? You want to remember where you heard it, or you think about someone who actually needs to hear what Libby just said, and then nothing. You look through your apps, you're trying to find the trail because you're driving when you hear it, and then you get where you're going. You're like, where did I hear that? Where can I go find it? Look, we built Fortis Plus to remedy all of that. We are solving that specific problem of hunting here, going there, looking under that rock over here. You don't have to do any of that because everything we produce lives right there under one roof at Fortis Plus. So listen to whatever you want to listen to while you're in the gym, while you're driving, while you're vacuuming, washing your car, whatever it is that you're doing, and know that you can find it very simply when you go to Fortis Plus later on. Then you can share it with a friend without having to send them through a paywall. Yeah, because everything is absolutely free. So first of all, get Fortis Plus right now on your smart device. That's your phone or even your smart TV. Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire. Most smart TVs, you'll find Fortis Plus. Just download it right now from your app store, or you can also go to fortisplus.org. Now, here's the reality of keeping something like this available to everyone without charging for it. We don't run ads around here. We don't sell your data or information, and we don't limit how much you can listen, and then you have to pay to listen more. We don't do any of that nonsense. We're supported by a group of people just like you, just regular everyday people who decided they would rather fund the infrastructure so the next person can hear all of this content absolutely free. For years, this ministry has wanted to do exactly that. We have wanted to be able to provide our content to everyone absolutely free of charge. It just took us a while to get there, but once we did, we opened access to absolutely everything because of our gospel partners, men and women, like I said, just like you, who have been helped by our content, that say, hey, I want to link arms with you. I want more people in more places all over the world to be able to access this same content anytime they want it. And if you've been helped by our content over the last 25 years, I want to ask you to start praying about also joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All the answers to all the questions you likely have can be found right now at fortisinstitute.org. Just make sure you're faithfully giving to your local church before you decide to give to our ministry. All right, now let's get back to Libby Glossin. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
So where have you been looking for hope and coming up short? If you're looking at your news feed or social media or in somebody else's backyard, you're not going to find hope there. Nothing lasting anyway. If you want real hope, you've got to look to God and His Word and the person of Christ. Let me give you some rapid fire scripture here that gives us hope in hope. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Psalm 62:5, my soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Bottom line, drum roll please, our anchor, the thing that keeps us steady during these moments, these news headlines, these awful worldwide global happenings, these close, intimate relationships, these situations that have historically pulled us right out to sea, is the hope of Christ. That's it. That's where you anchor yourself, my friend. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, Hebrews 6:19 tells us. While we're on the subject of resources regarding biblical hope, let me just commend to you my fellows here at Fortis Institute. Wretched Radio with Todd Friel, Transformed with Greg Gifford, Thrive with Brad Bigney, just to name a few. Y'all go check it out. I promise you will be encouraged as you find more resources on the biblical topic of hope. So I'm sure you can tell at this point that I've been talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you today. So if you'll allow me to be really honest and raw with you for just a minute, I want you to listen in to what has been rolling around in my own heart and mind in light of this concept of anchoring ourselves in the hope of Christ. What if I don't feel hopeful? You know what the Bible says, you know how you're supposed to be responding, but you just aren't feeling it. Well, newsflash, feelings are fickle. Hope is not the same thing as feelings. Hope is truth. It anchors us beyond feelings, in spite of feelings. Our feelings will follow, sometimes slowly, but our feelings will follow as we consistently lean into the truth of what God's word says, as we remind ourselves that Christ is faithful, that even when our feelings lie to us, Scripture is telling us the truth. We have to speak over ourselves the promises of God and preach the gospel to ourselves every single day. If you're struggling with feeling hopeful, maybe you could put some scripture reminders in strategic places around your house or in your car, maybe on your mirror where you get ready in the morning or on your dashboard in your car. Think of some ways that you can remind yourself of what biblical hope is really grounded in. Another thing that's been rolling around in my mind, what about when God seems silent? What about those things that we've been praying about for weeks, for years, and nothing is happening? Nothing is changing. It sure seems like God may have gone hard of hearing when it comes to what I'm struggling to find hope in. Here's the truth. Silence doesn't mean absence. The anchor of hope in Christ holds even in silence. Remember our boating illustration from the first half of this episode? When you throw that anchor overboard and it sinks below the waves and goes into that deep sand, you can't see the anchor, but you know it's working because you're not drifting. And that's how God works. Sometimes God's working in ways we can't see, but he's always holding us fast. We have to hold fast to the word, and we have to respond in obedience, even when we can't see the anchor holding. We can feel its effects. And while we're on that, if we're anchoring our hope in Christ, how come I'm still feeling anxious and worried? I thought the anchored hope was going to remove all of my anxiety and all of my doubt. No, that's not true. Even the apostles had doubts, but anchored hope gives us space to wrestle and pray and ground ourselves in God's word. We're not supposed to pretend we're perfect. We're supposed to trust God with our imperfections and rest in him. Remember, the hope is anchoring us through the waves, in the waves. It's not causing the waves to cease. It is just giving us a stable place to ground and root ourselves. So let's broaden our view for a second, because reality check, even though we focused on the personal today, this ain't about us, ladies. This whole shebang is about God. It's about God's faithfulness. And that is what should be on display when we face things, even globally, that cause us to maybe feel hopeless for a moment. Because hope as an anchor isn't just for our personal comfort. It has big, cosmic, future-shaping realities that go along with it. As Christians, we are supposed to be pointing to the fact that Christ lives. And because he lives, we too shall live. When we face death, when we face people dying in our world that we did not expect, death is not the end point. We have resurrection hope because Christ lives. And God is making all things new. We have the hope that one day all of this is going to be restored. God's going to set things right. One day all these tears are going to be wiped away. And this gives us motivation for mission hope, that we continue about the work that God has us. We don't wait. We're not sitting on the couch waiting and hoping that at some point God's going to move. We're supposed to participate. We're supposed to put our salvation to work in evangelism, in loving one another in the church, in coming alongside each other to encourage each other, because this anchor of hope, it's not passive. It's supposed to be active hope. And when our hope is anchored in Christ, our life is going to testify to all three of these things, to resurrection hope, to restoration hope, and to the mission of spreading the gospel hope. Because guess what? When people see that you're peaceful while other people are panicking, and when you're able to be generous when other people are hoarding everything that they have, and when you're loving others that most people would withdraw from, your life is a testimony. You're being salt and light. You are pointing people to the hope of Christ that's in you. So how do we cultivate this anchored hope? How do we make it real in our daily rhythm? Even when we have questions, even when our feelings aren't quite following yet. Well, I would encourage you to start your morning with scripture. Anchor yourself in God's word. Start by reading passages that point to Christ and God's promises. Hebrews, the Psalms, the Gospels, all of God's word gives us a reminder constantly of our grounds of hope. And you got to pray. You have to thank God for what he has done already. Not just focusing on what you want him to do, but what he's promised, what he's already accomplished, and that we can have confidence in him. We can approach him through the veil that's been torn. Not only reading God's word, not only praying God's word, but I would encourage you to listen to worship music that sings God's word back to you. Spend time with people who are going to point you to the truth of God's word and the hope of Christ. Get yourself to church. You have got to be under the teaching of God's word so that you can constantly be reminded of where your hope really is. So, my friends, what does Hebrews 6:19 call us to? It calls us to a hope that's not based on circumstances. It's not built on feelings. It's not swayed by culture or crises or even our wavering hearts. This is a living hope that's rooted in Christ, in his promises, in God's unchanging nature. This is a hope that holds us when we just don't feel like holding on. It's a hope that moves us towards others, towards loving God more. And listen, I don't know what your storm looks like right now. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's just the weariness of holding everything together while the world is falling apart around us. But I do know this, you have an anchor and that anchor holds. So don't just believe in hope, practice it. Preach it to your soul, pray it over your family. Live because your hope is real. Well, if you've made it this far, thank you. Thank you for hanging in there. I hope this time together reminded you that you're not alone and that your hope in Christ isn't fragile. It isn't abstract. It's firm. It's secure. And it's anchored beyond this world into the very presence of God. Let me leave you with a prayer today. Father God, we just thank you so much for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's an anchor for our souls. It's firm and secure. Even when waves rise and storms batter us and the world causes things to happen that we just don't understand, let us lean into you. Remind us daily of your promises. Lord, please give us courage. Calm our fears. Quiet our hearts. Help us to live as women who are anchored with our feet planted firmly and our eyes fixed on eternity. And use us, Lord, to point others to this hope we found. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And now that you know the better way to think about biblical hope, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.